like this morning to turn to the book of John, chapter 21. Book of John, chapter 21. We'd like to read first 14 verses. After these things, that is the resurrection and some appearances of Christ, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his master's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread, not the fish that they had caught. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Then Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. This, of course, is a post-resurrection event. It is, it took place after Christ had risen from the grave. From verse 1, we see that the setting of these words is the Sea of Tiberias. And we are told in John 6, in verse 1, that this is the same as the Sea of Galilee, which was the largest freshwater lake in Israel, approximately 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. What we read in our text involves 7 of the apostles. We see that in verse 2. There are 7 individuals. The subject of the verses is Jesus showed himself. This is twice stated in verse 1, and it is repeated in verse 14. Jesus showed himself. That is, he made himself visible. He manifested and displayed his presence, his power, and his glory. From verse 14, we learn that this is the third time since Christ's resurrection that he showed himself to the apostles. The first two occurred in Jerusalem, the first being the very Sunday evening of the resurrection when Thomas was absent. We see that in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. The second being a week later when Thomas was present, John 20, verses 27 through 29. Now we see that they are on the Sea of Tiberias, or the Lake of Galilee, which is about 60 miles northeast of Jerusalem, which was the first two times that Jesus appeared unto them. And the reason they are 60 miles away, and the reason they've made this trip from Jerusalem into Galilee, was that Jesus had promised to meet with them back in Mark chapter 14, verse 28. And we see the angel said to the women at the empty tomb in Mark chapter 16 that to go and tell the disciples that he would go before them into Galilee. Now, what we've read here is the record of how Jesus showed himself this third time to the apostles. Notice in verse 1, the last part of the verse, "And on this wise," or "after this manner," Jesus showed himself. So we're being told how he did that, what transpired when Jesus showed himself. Again, we're told in verse 2 of seven of the apostles being together, perhaps waiting for the other four to make the to continue their journey. And in verse 3, we see Simon Peter said unto them, that is the other six, "I go a fishing." They, the other six, in unison, say unto him, "We also go with thee." They, the seven, went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And then we are told in verse 3, "And that night they caught nothing." But then notice verse 4, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore." Again, we're being told how that Jesus showed himself and the blessed results of him showing himself. We want to center our thoughts for the message of what is stated there in verses 3 and 4. Notice in particular, verse 3, two words, "that night." That night. That night. And then notice in verse 4, "But when the morning," that night, the morning. Just as sure as there is a that night, the morning will come. Again, notice, that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Jesus made the difference. Jesus is the difference in everything in this passage. I want to speak this morning on there is a glorious morning to come. First of all, consider those two words, "that night." That night. And we're going to try to get through this in less than an hour and 45 minutes. Very easily could be two or three messages. But think of that night. Why didn't the Lord just say in the evening they caught nothing? He said that night. He's talking about a very particular night. That night they caught nothing. Consider the conditions of that night. First of all, it was a night of failure. Again, notice, that night they caught nothing. Other nights they caught a bunch. Other nights, they had been very successful. But that night, they caught nothing. Now remember, some of these are professional fishermen. They have made their living. They have raised their families. They have paid their bills by this profession. They knew how to fish. They knew when to fish. And they knew where to fish. They knew what they were doing. They had been successful in the past. But that night, they caught nothing. On that night, in spite of all their know-how, in spite of all their effort, they did not catch a single fish. That night, they caught nothing. In other words, on that night, nothing worked. What had worked in the past on that night did not work. On that night, nothing happened. Nothing. They caught nothing. In other words, on that night, they had nothing to show for their labor. Now, there are four sides to a boat. Learned that in college. There's the front, there's the back, there's the right, and there's the left. And I'm sure they cast their net over here. I'm sure they cast the net over here, and I'm sure they cast it over here, and I'm sure they cast it over here. But each and every time they drew in that net, nothing. That night, they caught nothing. They had nothing to show for all their labor. They did everything that they knew how to do. And they did it correctly. I'm sure that on that boat, someone was saying to one of them, "You're not rowing right. You're not throwing a net out right." But they were doing it correctly. They were fishermen. And there was nothing wrong with their net. Because we see eventually they caught 153 large fish, and their net did not break. But that night, they caught nothing. So one might ask, why didn't they catch any fish that night? And I'm sure they asked themselves, and I'm sure they asked one another, why aren't we catching any fish tonight? And I believe that God arranged their failure. I believe God does that all the time. God arranged their failure. I believe that God kept the fish out of the net. I believe that God told the fish, stay out of the net. Can God do that? Oh, yes, He can. Read the book of Jonah. That night was a night of failure. And I believe God arranged it. So someone is going to ask, well, why? Why would God arrange that His people fail? To show us our insufficiency. To show us our need of Him. So it was a night of failure. It was a night of emptiness. That night, they caught nothing. Not a thing. Nil. Zero. They cast the net over here. They cast it over here. They cast it over here. They cast it over here. And each time they drew in the net, nothing. Maybe some seaweed, no fish. Each time they drew in the net was empty. That night, though in the past they have caught fish, and though in the past they have caught a bunch of fish, and though in the past they have caught fish in that particular lake, at that particular spot, that night, they caught nothing. It was a night of emptiness. It was a night of void. It was a night of lack. So that night was a night of failure. That night was a night of emptiness. I'm sure also that it was a night of perplexity. Again, these men knew how to fish. They knew where to fish, and they knew when to fish. But that night, they caught nothing. And I'm sure that they were puzzled. I'm sure that they were mystified as to why they caught nothing. Why didn't we catch anything? It was also a night of fatigue. They rowed that boat. They cast the net over to the right, the left, in the front, and in the rear. Each time they drew in the net, nothing. And perhaps they would row some more. And again, cast the net to the right and to the left, to the front and to the rear. And again, they would draw in the net and nothing. And then they would row a little more and do the same thing all over again. And you do that enough times through the night, your back's going to begin to hurt. Your neck's going to begin to hurt. Your arms are going to begin to hurt. Your muscles are going to begin to ache. That night was a weary and burdensome night. It was a night of fatigue. Also, I believe that that night was probably a night of frustration. They cast the net over here, they cast it over here, they cast it over here, they cast it over here. Do the net in each time, empty. Empty. Then again, perhaps they would row some more. Repeat the process. No matter what they did, they caught nothing. No matter what, they caught nothing. And after doing that so many times, and with fatigue already set in, and with absolutely nothing to show for their labor, I'm sure they begin to feel a little annoyed. They probably began to feel a little annoyed with one another. And I'm sure disappointment began to set in, and perhaps a little discouragement began to set in. So we need to think about that night. That night. Because you and I have, do, and will experience of that night. Of that night. Again, it was a night of failure. A night of emptiness. A night of perplexity. A night of weariness. A night of annoyance. A night of disappointment. And you and I may be in that night. We may have just come out of a that night. Or we may be headed into a that night. But we have that night. We have that night in our lives. We have that night in our families. we have that night in our church, and we have that night in our souls. We have, and we are going to experience more than once of that night. We are not strangers. None of us here are strangers to a that night. Of that night when we are physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we fail. Have you ever had a that night where you physically, emotionally, and spiritually, you have failed? There's nothing that night. And when we are physically, emotionally, and spiritually empty, have you ever had a that night? Perhaps you're in a that night. Or perhaps you're headed for a that night. But I guarantee you this, if you live long enough, you're going to have another that night. You may not be there right this moment, but if you live long enough, there will be a that night. And may I say, many of those that nights, it is God who arranges them. It is God who arranges that night. Like you and I, we have that night of perplexity, of that night of fatigue, of that night of frustration, of that night of just simply being disheartened and discouraged and disappointed. Be sure of this. There is a that night. There is a that night. Sadly, some of God's people live in that night. And what I mean by that is they stay there. They stay there. The morning never comes. They stay in that night. They are trapped in that night. They are bogged down in that night. That's sad, but it's true. Who wants to remain in a that night of nothingness? A that night of emptiness, a that night of fatigue and disappointment and discouragement? Keep in mind that during that night, though that night they caught nothing, during that night, and it's this way with all that nights, God was still on the throne. God was working. God was not diminished by that night. He was still the same, working all things after the counsel of His own will. Little fish or large fish swim over the net, and God said, "You stay out of that net." And they stayed out. These seven, they were not aware of what God was doing. And you may be in a that night, and in the future when you are in a that night, remember that you may not be aware of what God is doing, but God is working. And who was God working for that night? For them. He arranged all this for their good. And no matter what the that night is, God is working. And He's working all things for your good. You don't believe that, you just go ahead and live in the that night. All through the that night, God knew where they were. He knew what they were experiencing. He knew what they were feeling. He knew and had what they needed. All through that night, God knew what He would do. Always does. You and I don't have to know what God is going to do. All we have to believe is God knows what He's going to do. In fact, again, God arranged that night for their good. As you read on in the chapter, we didn't to save time, but I believe God specifically arranged that night for Peter. And some of the others had to go through that night, because the Lord had something to teach Peter. And that's true. That's very true today. That night was good for them. It was good for them. And it's good for us. In that night, you learn how much you need Him. And if you learn that in that night, if you learn how much you need Him, I guarantee you that night will be worth it all. If you don't learn that, how sad. If you don't learn that, you're probably going to get bogged down into that night. You're probably going to stay there a long time. But then notice, verse 4, but when the morning was now come. Consider that there is a morning to come. What is morning? It's the beginning of a new day. It's a new beginning. Again, that night they caught nothing. The very next word is the word but. There's a change. Something has happened. Something is about to change. When the morning was now come. Just as sure as there is of that night, thanks be unto God, there is the morning. There is of that night. Be sure of it. You may not be in it right now, but be sure of it. There is of that night. But just as sure as there is of that night, there is the morning. We must never, ever lose sight of that. How sad when God's people become so entrenched in that night that they are oblivious to the morning was now come. Don't get stuck in that night. Don't get buried in that night. But when you're in that night, be expecting, be waiting, and be looking for the morning. The morning to come. And we want to notice what happened when the morning was come. And remember that the Lord can change any that night into morning. And these verses tell us how we know when the morning has come. We read here of several things that happened. Notice verse 4 again. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. There was a that night, but Jesus showed up. When Jesus shows up, that night is about to change into morning. When Jesus shows up, morning has come. He knew where they were. He could see them. Jesus stood on the shore. Those are wonderful and glorious words. The one who has risen victorious over sin, death, and the grave, there he stands on the shore. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. They have just had a that night of failure, of that night of emptiness, of that night of fatigue, of that night of frustration. But standing on the shore is one greater than their failure, one greater than their nothingness. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. The one who loved them, the one who always had their best interest at heart, stood on the shore. You might ask, why is he there? Why is he standing on the shore? Jesus stood on the shore. Why is he there? He is there for them. He's there for them. And the fact that Jesus stood on the shore changes everything. They have just been through of that night. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. From verse 8, we learn that at this time, they were about 100 yards away. 200 cubits. That's approximately 100 yards. So they're about 100 yards offshore. But oh, what wonderful words. Jesus stood on the shore. Why was he there? He was there to write the that night. He was there to write the that night. For the child of God, be sure of this, there is a that night. But just as sure as there is a that night, there is a morning when Jesus shows up. It may be a that night, but no matter how long the night is, no matter how difficult the night is, no matter how dreary the night is, don't get stuck in the that night, but know that there is a morning coming and be looking for Jesus to show up. If you're in a that night, I advise you to be looking, to be waiting, and to be expecting Jesus to show up, because as sure as there's a that night, there's a morning when he'll come. We need to remember these things. Notice secondly, what happened when the morning came. Jesus shows up, and he got their attention. It's morning when Jesus shows up and gets your attention. Again, they're about 100 yards from shore. They're empty. They're perplexed. They're fatigued. They're frustrated. Discouraged. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. And he got their attention. Again, they're 100 yards away. He said, children. He didn't just say, children. 100 yards away. He said, children! He got their attention. Before that, I don't believe they even saw Jesus standing on the shore. It won't do us a whole lot of good if Jesus shows up but doesn't get our attention. Oh, what a blessed thing when Jesus shows up and calls out to us. Children. Again, he's there to write the that night. And to do so, he gets their attention. The child of God, just as sure as there is a that night, there is the morning when Jesus shows up and gets our attention. So don't get stuck in the that night. But know this, there is a morning. Jesus is going to show up. He's not only going to show up. If you're His child, He's going to call you. So be looking for Him. You may be in a bad night. Be looking for Him. Morning's coming. Jesus is going to show up. And again, may I say, morning can happen any time in the night. He's not only going to show up, but He's going to call you. Don't get stuck by not looking for Jesus to show up. Don't get stuck by not listening for Jesus to call. So Jesus, morning has come. Jesus has shown up. Jesus has got their attention. And then He called them to take inventory and confess. When the morning comes, He walks out on the shore. He calls them children, which is a reminder, by the way, that they are His. They belong to Him. And He asks them a question. Jesus never asks questions for His own information. He already knows. Have ye any meat? To paraphrase that, Jesus is saying, how'd you do last night? Did you catch anything? Remember, Jesus is there to write the that night. Notice that they did not answer, Lord, we tried, but the weather just wasn't quite right. The moon wasn't in its right phase, and the water temperature just wasn't quite right. That's not what they said. They answered, no. In other words, nothing. How'd you do last night? Did you catch anything? Nothing. He knew they had caught nothing. But He's bringing their attention to the fact. And He's bringing them to openly acknowledge and confess, we have nothing. I'm telling you, morning has come. When Jesus shows up, get your attention and you confess, I have nothing. I have failed. The morning has come when the Lord brings us to a place of acknowledgement and confession. Just as sure as there is a night of that night, there is a morning when Jesus shows up, gets our attention, causes us to acknowledge and confess before Him that we have nothing. Don't get stuck in the that night, but know that there is a morning, and be looking, be waiting, be listening for Jesus, and be ready to confess your failure, your emptiness. When that happens, morning has come. Notice also there was instruction. Again, they're about 100 yards from shore. Having used all their skill, having used all their know-how in fishing, and having caught nothing. And in verse 6, Jesus says, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Again, Jesus is there to write the that night. And just as sure as there is of that night, there is a morning when Jesus shows up and gives instruction. His instruction was simple. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. Notice they did not say, Lord, we know what we're doing. You'll stay in the that night if that's your attitude. Lord, we know what we're doing. And Lord, we've already fished on the right side of the ship. There's no use. But notice, they cast therefore. They cast therefore. Don't get bogged down into that night. Quit arguing with God. Quit arguing with God. Trust Him. Obey Him. And when you do that, morning has come. Be ready to trust Him. Be ready to obey Him. Notice, there was an abundance. They just had of that night of nothing. Jesus shows up, gives them definite instruction. Remember, He's there to write to that night. And may I say, when Jesus gives instruction, it's there to, He's doing that to write to that night. If we just trust and obey, many of our that nights would be made right. But then notice, they cast therefore, that's obedience. And now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. According to verse 11, 153 fish. Now notice that phrase, they were not able to draw the multitude of fishes. Think about that. Before the morning came, they cast over here, they cast over here, they cast over here, they cast over here. Nothing. Before the morning came, they were not able to catch a single fish that night. But now the morning has come, and now they're not able to drag in the net for the multitude of fishes. Obedience has brought an abundance. And when the morning has come, there is an abundance of God's blessings. God's abundance. Notice also, there was a recognition of the Lord and a drawing near to the Lord. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, John always refers to himself by those words, saith unto Peter, it's no wonder that John is the first one to recognize the Lord. He's the one that leaned his head on the bosom of Christ. No wonder he's the first. But John says unto Peter, it's the Lord. And John, I don't believe, said that with a tone of dread. He's thrilled. He's excited. It's the Lord. It's Him. It's Him. Notice verse 12. Knowing that it was the Lord. So Jesus is there to write to that night. And this is the record of how Jesus showed Himself. And no matter how long, and no matter how dark, and no matter how empty, and no matter how weary and frustrating then that night might be, morning has come when God is recognized. When you recognize God, morning has come. This is why many stay in that night, because they never recognize God. They never recognize Him. Perhaps because they don't know Him. I don't know. For the child of God, just as sure as there is a that night, there is a morning when the Lord reveals Himself. So again, don't get bogged down in the that night, but know that there's a morning coming. Be looking for Him. Be waiting for Him. Be looking and waiting for a revelation, for an unveiling of Jesus Christ. Because just as sure as there's a that night, Jesus is going to reveal Himself. Lastly, there was an invitation and a receiving from the Lord. They had just had of that night of failure, of that night of nothing, of that night of perplexity, of that night of fatigue, of that night of frustration, of that night of disappointment and discouragement. Now they've been drawn to Christ, and they hear Him say in verse 12, Come and dine. Come and dine. And we read in verse 13, Jesus then cometh. Again, this is fish that they did not catch. We see that earlier. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. They are now eating fish that they did not catch. They are now finding comfort by a fire that they had absolutely nothing to do with. They are receiving from His hand. And may I say, when you receive from His hand, morning has come. Morning has come. Now, a lot of things have transpired before we got to this final point. They are now receiving from His hand. I believe this is the climax of the morning has come. Remember, Jesus is there to write the that night. And just as sure as there is a that night, there is a morning. You need to be listening. If you're in a that night, you need to be listening. Because somewhere along the line, Jesus is going to show up. He's going to reveal Himself. And He's going to say, come and dine. It's going to happen. I don't care how dreary that night might be. This is going to happen. The morning's going to come. You need to be looking for it. You need to be expecting it. You need to be waiting for it. For the child of God, just as sure as there is a that night, there is a morning when we will receive directly for His hand. Again, don't get bogged down in the that night, but rather look for the feast that God has prepared. He's prepared one. We need to look for it. You see, our problem is many times we get into that night and we forget all about there's a morning to come. And we stop looking. For our own good, we must experience the that night. Because it's in the that night that we learn of our own nothingness. And it's in the that night that we learn of our need of Him. And oh, may the lessons of that night be ingrained within our souls. Don't get bogged down into that night, but know that the Lord can change the that night into the morning. And may we always be mindful and looking for a wonderful and glorious morning, when Jesus comes and meets us where we are. No matter what that night, morning can come in the middle of the night. No matter what that night, you can try everything you want to try, but I'm here to tell you, it's Jesus that'll make the difference. Ultimately, in a way, this world, for the child of God, is of that night. For the child of God, in a sense, we live. Living in this world, we live in a that night. But thanks be unto God, the morning is on the horizon. And when the morning comes, Jesus is going to show up. We read there in Revelation 21, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And we shall see Him as He is. And that night will seem as nothing. And that's why Paul wrote in Corinthians, our light affliction. Because when we get into the morning, that night seems as nothing. Don't get bogged down in that night. You're going to have a that night. You're going to have more than one. You're going to have a that night. In a sense, but don't get bogged down in that night. In a sense, this world that we live in as a child of God is a that night. But don't get bogged down in that night. But remember, morning is going to come. We need to be looking for it. That's how we're to live our lives. We're to be looking for Jesus to come. We're to be looking for the morning. So yes, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for that night. We ought to be thankful for them because they're for our good. Many valuable lessons to be learned in that night. But oh, praise God, there is the morning that is now come. And all wonderful things happen when the morning comes. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.